Economic Alliance presents the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your show for the coast with the most growth, with your host, Jason Lee and Clint Aiken.
All right, and welcome to the Gulf Coast Growth Show.
Your show for the coast with the most growth.
Fantastic. And I'm your host, Jason Lee and
Clint Aiken.
And we are here with Patrick Mayer.
Yes.
Fantastic. I got that right.
First try.
What's the other mayor's name, the singer?
John.
John Mayer, yeah.
Yeah, he spells it different.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I just, when I read it and I heard it, I was like, I cannot remember who that is, but my wife, I told him I had Patrick Mayer. She goes, oh my God, is it the brother of?
No, it's not.
I was like,
but I get that a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And you tell everybody you can just sing better anyways, right?
He does have the voice for it.
He does.
So with that being said, from Gulf Winds, and we're here to talk a lot about logistics, really what's happening across the port region, the ins and outs. I think people don't really understand the dynamics of what's happening over there. They don't really see it as much. I had the chance to go down to their facility, so I can't wait to talk about this because it just blew my mind when I was down there. Some of the great opportunity. Patrick's really abreast of what's happening in the region. He's going to share some of that, and then we're going to talk about the importance of workforce development and the opportunities that exist for those that might be trying to get into the space. And so before we jump in, we'll take a moment just for Patrick to give us his background, because I think that'll really help shed some light on why you're here and, you know, able to talk about those things today.
What makes you the expert?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know about an expert, but I do have 17 years in the business here in Houston, and 12 of those with Gulf Winds. Mm-hmm. And so for those that aren't familiar with exactly what Gulf Winds does, we're an intermodal trucking and warehouse company. In simple terms, we move the ocean boxes that people see all over the Gulf Coast. And it's a very growing and fast-paced industry. And like, I'm just thankful and blessed to be here today and to share just the opportunity, you know, of what we're doing. We live in a great area. You travel around the country and you meet with our customers who are all over the country now, and you'll find out that they're not as bullish maybe in certain parts of the country as we are here on the Gulf Coast. And so just living and working and raising a family here in Houston, you know, we've got a lot to be thankful for. So it's an exciting time at Gulf Winds. It's an exciting time for our industry, for the port. And really what we do is really to serve the Port of Houston and serve the other railheads and ports that we deal with along the Gulf Coast, whether that be trucking, warehousing, technology, everything that goes into moving those ocean boxes is really what we do.
I love it. And I think you've talked about around the country and being bullish, and I think you're spot on. I'm always telling folks, look, reading the national news is a far cry from going in and getting your feet in and get local. Mm-hmm. Understand what's happening in your backyard, because what's happening in our backyard is a different indicator, right? Because we have a different flow through of economic environment, I would say. So yeah, you're absolutely, I'm bullish. And yep. So it's great to see that.
Me too.
To be a part of that. So talk to us a little bit about the bullishness. Tell us what's happening and the opportunity that has it going strong for us.
Yeah, so keeping it on the Gulf Coast, you know, the way that I would describe it right now is it's strong and it's steady, which in the logistics business is what you want to see. When it's strong and steady and consistent, we can generally meet the needs of our customers. Increased volatility and inconsistency is not always good. We've seen that this year with tariffs in particularly, but we have a very diversified book of business. We have a very diversified port. And so we've been able to weather some of those storms. Getting it to Houston specifically, Houston is absolutely a gateway for the U.S. and for particularly the south central region of the country. You know, we've got the population center here in Texas. We've got the population center outside of Texas that you can get from the port to really four or five states within a day. Mm-hmm. And so there's lots of different ways to do that, either by rail or by truck. And so Houston's an absolutely important part of that. And that's why 70% of the traffic that moves through the Gulf of Mexico comes through the Port of Houston.
Wow.
So it's coming in, guys, 3 miles from where we're sitting right here is really the epicenter of container traffic. So what we're seeing right now from the Port of Houston is about 12% growth year over year.
Wow.
And that's double digit type growth. And then containerization in general across the country is growing at a pace of 6 to 7%. So Houston continues to outpace really the national average. But still, even with the national average, it's a growing industry as consumers, we continue to buy more and more products from overseas. And at the same time, manufacturing here in the U.S. is strong. So there's a demand for our products overseas. So
nice.
Whether it's being imported or whether it's being exported, you still have to have a truck to move it.
Right.
Right. At the end of the day, a truck's going to touch it at some point in time in the supply chain, even if you utilize rail and some other things. So
I think on my tour, the thing that really blew my mind was there was like this particular wood that's specific to something that goes in like stuff that's made this way, but it's out of like middle, like Turkestan. Right. I have no idea. Right. Right? But it's just,
if that's a country,
if that's even, I don't even know. Right. I didn't listen. No one ever said I majored. This is his job to be in logistics. I
know the commodity you're talking about,
but it was some kind of amazing, and it was just bags, just giant bags. And yeah, there was just thousands. And it blew my mind because I knew that was going to get like all over the nation. And it was just that little piece of this wood stuff that they use.
That stuff goes into making particle board, which then goes into making furniture and other things. But it's imported from somewhere else in the world, to your point. And that is the coolest thing. And one of the things that drew me into the industry, I'm kind of an economics nerd. I mean, I'm curious. I like to know why things move and how things move. And so whether it's looking at the loads that we do through our warehouse or our customers, I'm always curious as to why is that moving? And I'll give you an example really quick that blows people's mind, but 70% of the cotton that's grown in the U.S. is grown in West Texas or Texas in general.
Wow.
Now, from there, what happens is the cotton is baled, it's shipped to a port or a rail, and then it's exported right out of the U.S. And it's exported to South America, it's exported to Asia, and guess what happens over there?
They make stuff with it.
It's made into the suit, it's made into a T-shirt, and then it gets sent back. So what might say on your shirt that was made in China, it actually, the raw materials were made in the U.S., and there's lots of different examples with that, but it's definitely a global economy. And if you really dig in there, you'll see why that it's going to continue to grow, right? I don't think that's going to reverse itself. And even if the country might change because of tariffs and other things, it still has to move, and it's moving at a faster and faster pace each year.
What really surprised me is a few years ago, I worked with a bunch of aggregate companies, and the amount of aggregate, rock, gravel, whatever you want to call it, rainbow rock, it's amazing how much of that they move out of the port. We export a lot of pea gravel, a lot of aggregate, and most people don't know that, right? I mean, they just see the trucks hauling down the road, and they're like, where's that going? We don't know where it's going exactly, but it goes all over the place.
Well, from an import perspective, and I'll kind of hit on imports and exports, kind of some highlights real quick, but from an import perspective, this region continues to see increases in retail. So if you drive around anywhere from Katy to Chambers County across the bay there in Baytown down to Fort Bend County, you're going to see massive warehouses going up, tilt wall warehouses. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what's driving that is retail, and that's coming from China and other places. That's good because that's import freight coming into this region. Consumers are kind of the Amazon effect. Consumers are expecting their products to be closer to their doorstep. So consequently, these retailers are having to build more distribution centers, not just Amazon, but everybody else has to build them. And so that's helping the import flow, that's helping the Port of Houston's numbers, and that'll continue. At the same time, Houston's becoming more of a distribution hub, not just on retail, but on products in general. So one thing that we see is that Amazon effect moves well beyond retail, but it moves to the consumer. So say today that you're a construction company and your end customer believes that they should have product quicker, right? Because that's what they've gotten used to. Well, now valves and fittings and pieces all have to be position closer to the end consumer. So it's not just tennis shoes anymore.
Wow.
It's the consumer has really driven that. So it's going across other industries, which is pretty interesting. And then from an export update, look, the big thing is resin, right? We've seen that the resin boom is going to hit at some time. I'll tell you, it's not really a boom. It's more of just continued steady growth month after month. And we're going to see that happen for the next 5 or 6 years. That is not going to go away. So that's exciting, right? That's why you see a lot of warehouses being built. That's why you see a lot of more trucks on the road that are hauling that. And as those plants continue to expand over the next 3 to 4 to 5 years in this region, all the way down to Corpus Christi, all the way over the mouth of Mississippi and Louisiana, every plant expansion that comes online means more product, which potentially means more export.
Mm. Right.
So part of our audience probably needs to understand what resin is, because with the CBD boom right now, everybody's probably like, oh, resin, but it's not.
It's not.
So,
it's plastics.
There you go. All plastic right. That helps everybody. So yes. That's going to keep us in line. So plastic products. So
yes,
the
if
stuff
I start
that's...
to get into different terminology and lingo, just slap
we got you.
Me.
Yeah,
slap me.
No, it's all good. But that helps me. So it's the plastics is the resin component.
Actually, one thing in the notes is landside logistics. That's kind of the next topic we want to talk about. So that is one thing. I really don't know anything about landside logistics. Can you kind of explain that to us a little bit more?
Yeah. So one thing that I think often gets lost in supply chain is the importance of this concept of landside logistics, meaning we can have the perfect scenario of the container and the boat moving it across the ocean. But when it gets here, and even if it only has to go a couple miles from the port to the distribution center, there's a lot of things that have to happen right there for that to happen and to meet your needs as a consumer. And so what landside logistics is that is the combination in the supply chain of the port, the yards that you see around here, the warehousing, the roads that we drive on, the driver base, the equipment that we haul, the trucks, all of that going together makes that thing happen every single day. And so look, when you talk about supply chain, it's called a chain for a reason, because we're all connected to each other at the end of the day. And so if I don't do my job with excellence, that's going to affect the next person in the chain. Okay. And when that chain's working out really, really well, things move. And when one piece of that chain doesn't work out, or maybe we don't have enough capacity within warehousing, or we don't have enough capacity on the roads to move things bottleneck up. And luckily for us in this region, that's pretty rare, with the exception of a natural disaster. But what you see in other ports across the country is it's almost the norm,
right?
Bottlenecks, confusion, congestion. And we're blessed to not have that here as much. We've got a lot of industry stakeholders that really work together as really a unified base to make sure that doesn't happen here, even with the growth. And I think Houston's prepared very well.
So, I think the you just used the word industry stakeholders, and that's a key term, especially in the Economic Alliance, because we refer to the folks that are involved and actively involved in this organization and across this region as stakeholders, because they really have a vested interest in the betterment of all of these things. And so what you see is you don't see a guy who's maybe in a legislative position over in his county fighting just for his needs. He's trying to understand the dynamics of the supporting cities and areas and counties, because all of those things flow through to the end good for all of us, right? If I'm jockeying just for the thing that's right in my backyard, but it's going to have an indirect impact to slowing down my neighbor, which I know is going to come back and hurt me in the long run, I have to be able to figure those things out. And so I rely on industry professionals like you to help educate me on, well, what's happening down on the landside logistics, and how's that going to impact me up here, and how do we fix for that, and how do we work on it? And so, and this organization does a great job. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the show, is to bring education so we're all on the same page. So that's a great call out. Yeah. I think this would be a good shift to talk about, because we're real big on workforce development, you know, and then the opportunities that exist. Even before the show, you were talking about just 12 years ago, what But you know, I've been to your facility. It's insane. It blew my mind how much. It just was never ending how much, you know, how many things were out there. And I remember seeing too the hustle going around. There's people getting into trucks, people moving things, people doing so many jobs. So is all I thought about when I walked through it. And now you said 12 years ago it was a little bitty place, right? And so now it's just continuously expanding. So talk to us a little bit about the professional opportunities and the things that are happening in your space.
Yeah, I think the more understanding and education that gets out there as far as exactly what companies like GolfWinds do, mm-hmm. Is going to help to really bring that next generation of folks in. You know, it's a crazy real-time blend of so many different verticals and majors and experiences. You know, there's an element of economics to it. There's an element of trade, obviously business acumen. There's elements of finance in it. There's sales, there's marketing, there's technology, right? And so there are so many different avenues that all converge in this logistics space. And at the end of the day, a lot of what we do is common sense too, right? Mm-hmm. It's moving things. It's having to do things in real time. It's matching things up. So I think as long as we can continue to educate, we'll continue to bring in people. I do think that there's going to be a talent shortage over the next 5, 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. within our space, because I think you see a lot of industries all converging with growth at the exact same time that may all be looking for the same thing. So I would encourage anybody that's listening out there today that's considering a career in logistics to absolutely learn about it and give it a shot. You know, I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of opportunity for people in the future.
I think one of the things, in addition to the logistics, the opportunity, you know, we're always talking about with the industrial side of things, the crafts, the trade positions, that being a huge thing. And, you know, let's be honest, it's hard to make, you know, turning pipe and you know, doing the things that these guys have to do, breaking concrete. It's hard to make that, you know,
attractive
and sexy, right? So we're creating great ways to educate and do that type of deal. In your particular thing, space, I think the thing that really jumps out too is this new era of employee who wants to be part of bigger things than just showing up to work, or you know, they want to feel like they're more than a number or more than a, you know, it's a real big movement that's happening. Sure. And really, it was kind of started to happen when I was, you know, first entering the workplace. It's kind of shifted. And now it's, you know, people will take less money sometimes for the culture or for the environment and things like that. And I think a lot of companies have to start engaging and looking beyond just the scope of the job and the pay. But what about where I work? You know, how it feels. And so I'm excited to talk a little bit more about how you guys bring that to life when we get back from the commercial break.
McCarthy Building Companies. From the Museum of Fine Arts to terminals on the Ship Channel, we understand the challenges and complexities you face when building here in the Gulf Coast. As the oldest privately held national construction company in the country, we have a clear focus on clients, community, and collaboration.
Welcome back. We really do appreciate our sponsors. We couldn't do this without them. So kind of coming back, we want to talk about any big news that you guys have coming up at GolfWinds. I know there's some expansion coming up. Y'all are opening up some new locations. Can you kind of address some of those topics for us?
Yeah, we continue to grow here in Texas, first and foremost, here in Houston. We also have terminal operations in Dallas and Fort Worth that are really connected to what we do here on the Gulf as well. But in the last 6 months, we've had some opportunities to expand eastward. And so we opened in Mobile, Alabama, at the port. Wow. Over there back in January. And that's going very well for us. And then we're actually in the process right now of opening in New Orleans for the port of New Orleans.
Nice.
And then also in Memphis, Tennessee. And so Memphis, okay, obviously doesn't have any water there except for the Mississippi River, but Memphis is a huge logistics hub. You have FedEx there, and it's a huge rail network. It's very similar to Dallas-Fort Worth. And so, look, we have a saying that we're going where our customers are going. And so if our customers ask us to expand our services, we're certainly going to look at it for them.
Right. Very cool.
That's pretty impressive, especially considering the story that you shared earlier. But this will always remain the hub, right?
And then, sure. It's where our corporate headquarters are. Mm-hmm. We have our warehouse footprint is here. And our corporate office space, which we just moved into, literally a mile and a half from here. So I could have jogged over here a little while
ago. Oh, wow.
Is right here.
If it wasn't August right now.
If it wasn't August.
If it wasn't August.
at noon, yeah.
You'd be lucky to get me to jog a quarter of a I wouldn't jog from here to outside the building. Yeah, so that's not happening. So, but that'd be impressive to watch somebody else do it.
Sure.
So we were talking about before the break about really kind of engaging your employees. I'm a big advocate for taking employees and so with my background really being in leadership roles, that has challenged my belief that you have to inspire folks. You have to make them want to be part of something more than just the paycheck.
Workplace culture is extremely important.
And so talk to us a little bit about More Than the Move, because you guys are really doing some fantastic stuff. And I think it was a brainchild of your founders. And then now it's gone off and just it's starting to get exponential growth out there. And we'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So I think it starts with relationships right at work. And it starts with the fact that we spend so much of our lives working either in an office or outside the office with our colleagues who become our friends, who we're doing life with. Mm-hmm. And I think this next generation especially is not only seeking that, but they're demanding now, to your point earlier, that they would get more than just a paycheck, right? Mm-hmm. And they would get opportunities to grow personally and professionally. And so really that's been part of our culture since day one, where we're really after growing the whole person at Gulf Winds, and whether that means personally, professionally, you know, mind, body, spirit, and really people have grabbed onto that. We have always had a culture of giving back to our communities here locally and abroad, and we really wanted to try to figure out a way to formalize that, if you will, a couple of years back. And so we decided to launch a foundation, and that's called More Than the Move, mm-hmm. right? We're a logistics company. The name is a, really a play on moving containers. So it's about more than moving containers. So we tell people, look, if you come work for us or you're a customer at the end of the day, it's about something more. There's a lot of people that can move containers, right? So be about something more than just your work. Mm-hmm. And know that when you work for us or with us, there's an end goal in mind.
Wow.
Right. And it's not just about the profits. No, we're a for-profit company. We do have to make money, but we have a saying that's no margin, no mission. So if we can't make a return, there's no giving back. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we're very passionate about giving back. And that was something that really formalized it. So how that really started was really on the volunteer efforts internally with us. And so we wanted to make sure that our team members had volunteer opportunities and ways to engage personally with the charities here locally that we support. And so it's more than just writing a check. We wanted to give them the opportunity to volunteer and let that particular charity speak to them if they so choose. And then also if they have ideas of things that speak to their heart, that's personal to them, then they can bring those to the foundation, and the foundation will try to find a way to support those as well. And it's been great. It's really helped us to formalize that one of our engagement pieces. It's just one pillar of it. We do a lot of other things. But it's also provided a blueprint, we hope, for other companies like ourselves, either in our space or outside of our space, that it's a little bit easier than maybe we think sometimes. Let's not confuse it. It's at the end of the day, it's just about, you know, giving back. And More Than the Move will provide really a blueprint for companies to be able to do that.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
That's awesome.
I think it's wonderful. I've been following some of the work that you guys are doing on LinkedIn and some of the companies that are getting wrapped around it now. And it's just really fantastic to see them teaming up, getting out of the workspace as a group and as a team, and going out into the community to make an impact. And I don't think business owners realize, you know, when I go, if I go to an organization and yeah, your name's up on the flag and that's great. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. You put a, you sponsored the hole or you sponsored mm-hmm. this. I don't know how many, I can't remember the last time I was in a golf tournament and I can remember whose name was at hole 18.
Right.
Like I don't remember that.
Right. And there's a lot of money that gets put out there.
Yeah.
For that stuff.
But I sure as heck remember, of course I can't remember his name right now. but I know who I'm thinking of. No, there's a recruiting firm. I think his founder is Matt Furman, and they do maritime logistics or recruiting in the maritime uh-huh. space. And the way that I remember him right now, and I've actually been engaging with him, is because I've been following the work and the commitment of his team. You know, I literally say, okay, I want to help that guy do business because I know where his heart's at, because he's engaging his employees to do the right things. So I think it's important for business owners and people connected to that, that, you know, yeah, you can stroke a few checks, but where the movement happens mm-hmm. is when you get your people out and making a move. So it's great to hear that. That's fantastic.
Right.
Clint, what else you got?
So, you know, we kind of talked about Gulf Winds. We talked about the growth and what's happening here. We talked about the workforce. We talked about the, you know, how we all engage your employee culture. Let's talk a little bit about you. So what do you see as some of the factors that have contributed to your personal success?
Yeah, I think first of all, especially in our industry, you have to start somewhere. And I came right out of school personally as a finance major and didn't really think that was for me. Didn't think it was very interesting. And so I went to work for a trucking company and fell in love with it right off the bat. Loved talking to drivers, loved talking to customers, loved seeing how things moved. And so really for me, it was starting from the ground up, learning, being curious, staying humble, and just learning the business. And a lot of people want to come in at a certain level without necessarily understanding the business mm-hmm. and allowing themselves to work their way up. And what they don't realize is that's going to carry them for the rest of their career mm-hmm. within a particular industry. You know, I talked about being curious and just making sure that, that look, you're always asking good questions. That was always first and foremost. And then also when an opportunity comes your way, and even if it might not be what you thought that you should be doing right now,
right,
say yes, right, because there's another opportunity there to learn and grow. And I've never said no to an opportunity that came my way, just even if it didn't, you know, necessarily meet my career goals at that time. And that has really helped me in my career. And then I'd say the last thing is being able to play a long game, and especially early in one's career, and knowing that it is a long game. And the decisions that you make, your professionalism, those things are your reputation, and they're going to carry you for a very long time. And so not to get short-sighted on maybe the short wins, but we tell our team all the time, look, with relationships, this is a long game, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the industries here locally are very tight-knit industries, and we all run in the same circles at the end of the day. And so just make sure that that we keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think we live in a world of everything has to happen fast. But the one thing that's not changing and will never change is relationships aren't built fast. They're earned with trust and consistency and showing up. That's where you really form those and then what ultimately transfers is to your brand. People start to identify, oh yeah, they're the guys that are always do what they say, right? And so that's a really important thing. And it's like I said, I've been fortunate enough to meet and be around your culture, and so this is just another testament to the work and the things that are being built over at y'all's company. So it's great to see it, you know, in the flesh again. So it's always fun. Any personal highlights, anything that you want to highlight or share?
You know, the only one that's worthy, you know, to talk about is I celebrated 13 years of marriage
Woo-hoo.
Last
wow.
month.
That is
Congrats.
Impressive.
And really, that's the biggest thing in my life. And I have two healthy, young boys, 10 and 7, that are active, and if there's a ball anywhere around, they're gonna go to it and play all sorts of different sports and stuff.
Two boys. Is that where the gray hair came from?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, prematurely. Yeah. That and logistics.
Yeah, that and logistics. Yeah,
I'd say more on the logistics side.
Yeah, no, when I went in there, now that I understand your role, and now that I see what you do, I was like, okay, because I feel like we're like the same age, but
right.
Mine's all gone in the back, but that's from being so small and people going, come on, man, you know, like rubbing my head. I hate it. But
I got 4 kids, so that's the gray, right?
Four kids? I get it. And I know my wife's going to make me have more, so that's what I keep telling her. I was like, but you love my hair. You know, like, why would we want to change that? So with that being said, let's close out the show and talk a little bit about what we're grateful for, what we're humble for, what really led us to that. So Clint, what are you thankful for?
Right now, I'm really grateful for the support I have from peers in the industry. So we set up our company this year, and I've got some really good teammates, and they don't work for me, but they do. Right. They advocate for me. They help me find work. They help me find jobs. And there's, you know, at this point, I can't pay them to be employees for me, but I'm very grateful that I've got some peers like that in the industry that have honestly reached out to me and have brought me some opportunities to be able to pursue what me and my wife are trying to build with our company. So
that's awesome.
It's been fantastic to have that kind of a network and have that kind of peer group that is, they're advocates, right? I mean, they're fighting for me to win.
That's great.
So it's awesome to have, and I'm grateful for them.
I'm grateful that we still work and live and serve, and both in the state of Texas, but also in this region, where an organization who proudly, you know, serves their faith and can speak to that, like yours and the one that I work for, and the folks that I get to see on a consistent basis. When I'm at the Economic Alliance, and we stop and everyone puts their hand, and you know, there's usually a prayer before the big meetings, and there's usually a hand over the heart as we acknowledge our flags. And so I'm just thankful that we get to serve in a place that allows us the freedoms to do that. Mm-hmm. So, and I just think that's probably a cornerstone to our success here in our area. So,
yeah. And I would echo that, both of them. And then I would say, you know, I'm grateful for really a series of mentors that I've had throughout my career. And so these individuals, and they know who they are, they have really spoken into my life personally, professionally, and spiritually, and they chose to invest in me early on, and they were able to see and draw things out of me at a time when I didn't necessarily see that in myself, and I'm forever grateful for them. I tell them that probably not as often as I need to, and I should. Mm-hmm. So I need to go back and do that. And so that has changed, you know, my career and really the course of my life as I look back. And so my goal would just to simply be available and just to maybe be able to do that in somebody else's life. And so really big on mentoring and coaching as the opportunities arise.
Nice.
And to just pay it forward, right? That's what it's all about.
Right.
Yeah. There's some pretty amazing stories about mentorship, and I always use the term generational curses don't have to stay that way. You know, I think we have the ability to flip those curses and turn them around just by changing someone's heart, and usually that's just by showing up.
Yep.
Right? And I think that that's the most important thing to mentorship. And so it's great to see your passion for that, your heart for it, your heart for leadership. We're thankful for your opportunity to be on the show today.
Thank you.
We hope our audience gained some knowledge. You know, if, for those that, again, Gulf Winds International, and it's Patrick Mayer. If you have questions about his industry, his space, you're welcome to reach out to his organization. If you need to get connected, you can connect us to us, and we're happy to sync in. I've just recently reached out to him via LinkedIn, so I would encourage that you follow him. Follow their page as well as ours. Any ideas, suggestions, solutions that you might have for our show, you can always reach out to the marketing department here at the Economic Alliance, or you can contact Clint or myself via LinkedIn. Continue to follow our pages and stay tuned as we get connected to some of the other events here in the region.
I do get a lot of questions too about different events that are going on. So we definitely, if you can reach out to the Economic Alliance, they have an event page. Mm-hmm. Like always always listing out a lot of great events. So anytime you can get connected with that, it's a great resource.
Fantastic. So you guys tune in next week, and we look forward to seeing you on the next show.